right. Okay, that's just to get you going. It's titled Cornbread, and the lead musician is Lee Morgan. He's on trumpet. He's a leader of this group, which contains a number of luminaries like Herbie Hancock on piano, Billy Higgins on drums, Jackie McLean on alto sax, Hank Mobley on tenor sax, and Larry Ridley on bass. This song was the title track for the album they released, or I should say Lee Morgan released, in 1967, although he recorded it 2 years earlier in 1965. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and it is Free Your Mind Friday. What is that, you ask? So let me explain. Free Your Mind Friday is an open forum. We kind of cancel out our normal format and make this an open forum for the specific purpose of having the listeners express their views on whatever they wish to express their views on. And this is a requirement. The requirement is that you have a point of view. Don't just get on and yammer. No yammering allowed. You have to have a point of view, a discernible point of view about something, and you take a position. It does not matter. I repeat this all the time. It does not matter whether people agree or disagree with you, or whether you think people agree or will disagree with you. It is important only that you present a cogent argument that accurately represents your point of view on a subject. That's easy, isn't it? So Free Your Mind Friday is the people's open forum. And the number you call is 888-874-4888. That gets it started, and we get to listen to what you have to say. Of course, people may take issue with what you say, but that's not the issue here. that's other people's issue. Your issue is to be very clear about your point of view. And, you know, put together a cogent argument so that we can say, oh, I see where he's coming from or where she's coming from. And I agree. Or, I don't think so. And then they take their turn debunking everything you just said. It's a good way to thicken up your skin. You know, after a while, you get used to the idea that people have their own opinions. It does not necessarily change your opinion, but it's good to see what the reaction is after you have presented your point of view. All righty, 888-874-4888, and let's get started. By the way, condolences to the family of, name just went right out of my head, the great actor who died, Sidney Poitier. That's who I'm trying to remember. I'm getting old. That's the end of it. That's the be-all and end-all of my argument. I'm getting old, okay? So I slip up every now and then. 888-874-4888. Harvey from Berkeley, you're on the air. You start us off today.
Hello, totally groovy Eutrice.
Hey, groovy Harvey. How are you doing?
Well, first of all, I went to an Army-Navy outlet in Oakland and purchased a good-looking camouflage shirt. And when I got home, I hung it up in the closet, and now I can't find it.
Oh, but burglars in your house.
But on a more serious note, on January 27th, the California Public Utility Commission will be voting on California's three largest utilities, Pacific Gas and Electric, Southern California Edison, and San Diego Gas and Electric's petition to slash solar credits by 80%, as well as charge new solar users an average of $57 per month to connect to the grid. And if there's less solar electricity being generated, the void will be filled with the burning of more natural gas, which is known as methane, which increased last year to account for nearly half of California's in-state electricity generation. Unfortunately, fewer photovoltaic installations will mean a lot more carbon dioxide, as well as other potent greenhouse gases in our atmosphere. And this will have a dire consequence for our planet, because the additional carbon dioxide in our atmosphere will further heat up our precious Mother Earth, causing, amongst other climate catastrophes, the dangerous melting of our world's glaciers and polar regions, leading to further rise in sea level, which will affect the world's coastal cities like New York, London, as well as sea-level countries like Bangladesh. California's Central Growing Valley, which supplies a lot of the food that sustains America, could turn into an inland sea because of ocean rise. So what happens in California has a direct impact on you as well as your well-being. So the first thing to do is go to Google or your other favorite search engines and put in the word Solar Rights Alliance. That's a website. The first website, Solar Rights Alliance. It says home, and it's solarrights.org. And you can scroll down the Solar Rights Alliance website, and it'll show you how to take action. And there's information that you could help you fight the solar takedown in California. And if you don't get all my solar rights information, you can go to the PRN Free Your Mind Friday archive to hear it again. So let's fight the good fight and save Mother Earth as well as ourselves from the fossil fuel takedown of renewable energy in California. So thank you, wonderful Utrice, for letting me share my information with you.
Thank you, wonderful Harvey, for sharing your information. Thank
right.
you.
Okay.
888-874-4888. It's Free Your Mind Friday. What do you now have on your mind that you think you should be free of? Let's hear what is bugging you. What is on your mind? Please let us in on it. We have no new calls yet. And this is puzzling to me because people are waiting. I don't know what the ceremony is, the private ceremony you perform while you wait, but it's just, to me, if you have something to say, say it. You don't have to wait to get a prompt. Just say what you have to say, and people would be listening to you, and they would decide whether they should continue listening to you. This is the chance you take, just like in life. Not everything you say would be popular, but at least you have the opportunity to present a point of view. And done right, even if people disagree with you, they will have to admit you did a good job of laying your case out. So nobody can hold grudges against you because you have a certain opinion. It's very important to have an opinion. It's very important to defend it as well. And it is very important for our community. I'm talking about people who are activists and people who are very much community-minded and so forth. You mix and mingle with people all the time. You are influencing their thoughts, even if you don't know it or are aware of it. So it's important to develop the skill to make your argument and to be as direct as possible and to be prepared to defend it. Not that you should feel, you know, that people are coming at you. Even if they are, you should be ready. Even if they are, you should be ready to defend your point of view. So this is why on this program we have Free Your Mind Friday. And it is specifically to provide a space, a public space, where you can express yourself, have an opinion that you've been harboring for some time. You present it, and you see how it flies. Noel from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Yes, Yatrita, I'm about to go do something that you will not have to do again, and that's shovel snow here in New York. Yeah, that's right.
Well,
you don't have to do that anymore. Huh?
There has been on the records indications that Florida has had its fair share of snowfalls.
Okay, then I stand corrected. What I want to talk about today is, I don't know if you know him or not, Eric Adams, the new mayor of New York City. And what I don't seem to understand is I wanted to become a nurse, and that's not going to deter me from doing that. And they need male nurses. They need nurses drastically. But once they started this thing about the mandatory vaccine, I don't understand. He took out a 33, I think he's working with Goldman Sachs, and of course, you know, Goldman is the one who helped to put Barack Obama into office. And he's taking out a loan with Goldman Sachs to get more nurses. Well, to me, from the military standpoint, we had something called waste, fraud, and abuse. Now, the waste comes in that you already, you're taking out a loan for people that you already have. I mean, there are many nurses standing in the wings who chose not to stay on. And I just think it's a big hypocrisy that no matter who we have in office, it continues, that the slogan continues on with the hypocrisy. How do you take out a loan for somebody that you already have? That's what I basically wanted to say.
Okay, but let's go to another level here. What is it that you are not saying?
What is it that I'm not saying?
That's right.
That there's somebody above him telling them to do this?
You're asking me. I want an answer. Not another question.
You want an answer from me. What is it that I'm not saying? That's the way politics works. I'm not seeming to get what you're saying about what am I not saying. There's probably a lot of things I'm not saying.
What are you saying about Eric Adams in this arrangement? In your mind, communicate about, or in your view, about Eric Adams?
It seems like it's business as usual, that the politics hasn't changed between de Blasio and this guy. If anything, Eric Adams seems to be wanting to make it mandatory even for students to have a vaccine. So I think that, like Malcolm Moore, I believe, said it, that don't look at the puppet, look at the puppeteer. Did I answer not really sure what I didn't say.
Well, you just answered it.
Okay.
Okay.
You're smarter than what I think, huh?
No, it's in an opinion.
Yeah.
So you have to take a chance and put yourself on the line and make it clear what your feeling is.
Yeah. That is definitely my feeling. It's absolutely a waste that you have people who are ready, willing, and able. Now, what that does is, and not that I'm trying to thumb my nose, but what that does is I'll go someplace else, maybe Florida. I'm probably looking at Florida. I'll have to bring my skills down there. you know, because it's
never
ridiculous.
Know. You never know. Thank you, Noel, expressing your view. Thank you. Neil from Connecticut, you're on the air.
Greetings.
Greetings.
The last caller just led on that he's considering going to Florida. And I'm guessing because he's thinking it's more open, it's nice and warm, and it's politically more open that people can live more free lives down there. A couple of months back, one of our community called in to discuss just that, intentional community. Do you recall a woman kind of trying to stir up some interest and maybe developing a format for contacting other people on this idea? So with that in mind, I'd like to connect two very important issues. One is environmental sustainability. And the other would be the intentional community. So I was thinking of Florida also. But I'm not sure that it's on Gary Null's sustainability list. So I had an idea that maybe those of us interested in sustainable community might gather around this idea. I'm thinking, who do I like? Who would I like to live with or near? And where do they live?
Well, but before you get to that, could you explain the two terms you just mentioned? Because I'm not sure that people have heard these terms and they understand what they are, what they mean.
Sustainability, when I said environmental, I mean, where are we going to have water? Are we going to have less risk of violent weather events? Sustainability also in terms of employment, and an individual's feeling that he or she can be creative. So I'm talking political environment, environmental sustainability, and then the other idea of intentional community. So I thought, who would I like to live with? I'd love to live with Gary Null. And where does he live? Northeastern Texas. So I'm thinking maybe some of us in the Northeast should gather our ragtag fleet and drive on down to Florida. And if you like the idea, we can pick you up and start heading west. big old hippie convoy, you know? And
well, I have news for you. Florida, to me, is far from an ideal place, having had several years now to experience it. It's a very odd state. And you have to know what you're doing and what you prepared to sacrifice in order to live here.
So why don't we pick you up along the way and take our ragtag hippie convoy all the way to northeastern Texas and live with Gary?
That's interesting. So that it's nice that you're organizing his life, and he doesn't know.
Well, I would love to live near the animal sanctuary in Florida, but I heard a rumor from my oldest daughter that Gary has put up the ranch in Florida for sale. Now, it's just a rumor. So I'm thinking, well, maybe Florida is not
so
such
don't,
a great idea.
So don't, wait, before you go any further, never put yourself in a position of spreading rumors. You either know what you're saying or you don't.
It's only a rumor. I haven't confirmed it, but I'm thinking, well, that's
then
the reason
don't,
not
then
to put
don't
it
mention it. Don't talk about it.
Well, I was thinking, like the previous caller, of moving to Florida, and I thought, well, if Gary's leaving Florida, well, I don't want to go there. I want to go to where he's living, so I want to go to northeastern Texas.
Well, good luck. It doesn't sound like a sound plan. It sounds like one of those, you know, sudden ideas, and you're following some kind of invisible star. But I don't know that I would recommend that as a way to make a very serious decision about what you're going to do with your life.
Well, I am looking for that shining star in the directions, you know. Northeast Texas seems to be very sustainable. Gary likes it. So, you know,
what's intentional thing about Gary? Gary likes it. So what?
Dr. Gary Nell likes
does
it.
That mean, does that mean you're going to like it too?
Well, we should consider organizing an intentional community around our beloved leader.
Okay. Well, thank you.
So you're invited. You're invited to come along.
I'm trying to be as independent as I can. It's the way I like to live. I don't like living in commune-type or community-type arrangements. I find them to be very, very uncomfortable, just even in concept.
I hear you.
I like being by myself, having my own little, you know, couple of square feet, and I'm happy with that. But please, don't give me any encouragement to join with anybody else. It does not appeal to me at all.
That's
but good luck.
A very healthy suspicion of group energy. I get that.
Okay. Thank you so much for calling in and contributing. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. Ed from Queens, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, Yatrice. How are you doing?
Good afternoon, Ed. How are you doing?
Dealing with the white stuff.
Oh, yeah?
Is it a lot? You in Florida.
Has a lot of snow fallen?
It's a substantial amount, anywhere from 10, depending upon your location, anywhere from 10 to 6 to 10 inches.
Wow.
Some places 12, like on the island. But it was intense. I think it's a portent of what we're going to be experiencing for the foreseeable future as far as with climate change and weather patterns. Intense. For a few hours, intense snow, intense wind, intense, and then stops, and then the sky's clear. I think we're in for bouts of intense weather mixed in with calm. I think that's the future climate based on my observation and what's been happening.
So what are you freeing your mind of today?
Well, basically, I want to free my mind about this COVID-19. I had a few questions that I've been asking people, professionals, even my own personal physician, other people, and no one can give me a definite answer. Number one, with all these variants, what's happening to them? I mean, Omicron, now at first it was Delta. Where are they going? Are they petering out? Are they still present? Delta was supposed to be highly contagious and highly infectious and very virulent. Now Omicron is taking the picture. So that's one question. What's happening to them on a scientific level, on a physical level? Number two, what is going on with all of this testing? I mean, there will pop up all over New York, and there were lines around the block at various testing sites and pop-up sites. And I know some people who went to these pop-up sites had their nasal cavity swab, and it's been over 2 weeks, and they still haven't gotten any results. And these sites took in a lot of information, a lot of personal information, and in one occurrence, I believe it was in Texas, or I think it's South Dakota, there was a fraud going on with these pop-up sites. People were pretending to be pop-up government-sponsored COVID sites. They had the signs, they had the tents, and they were taking your personal information and basically stealing your identity. So I know there were a lot of them in the Queens area. There were a lot of them in the New York City area. And like I said, I know some people who went and had this test taken and still don't have any results. You call up the COVID hotline, you get either it rings out or it goes straight to a voicemail. You can't speak to a live person. And if you do, that person doesn't really have any. It's been my personal experience that the person is speaking to doesn't have a clue as to what you're talking about. So that's another thing. Another thing, Moderna, which basically was not a known reputable company like Pfizer with a reputation. Moderna was an experimental drug company founded 10 years ago, and it never really turned a profit. But this year that passed, in 8 months, Moderna made $25 billion. Pfizer made $35 billion. Do you know how much money that is and how much influence you can wield with that amount of money? Some countries don't have that amount of gross national product. So these two and three companies, especially Moderna, which was an experimental company that was relatively small, are now masters of billions and billions of dollars, and they can control the narrative. So these are just a few questions that I've been asking, and no one has been able to give me a definite answer. I have my own theories and my own ideas as to what is going on and to how it's all interplaying. But I'm just, I just put it out there for your consumption. Take a look at what's going on and be aware of what's happening.
Thank you, Ed. Very important questions to be answered, but we can't take our eyes off of these things, We have to always remember where there's a lot of money to be made, there'll be a lot of fraud. Thank you for calling in. Jeremiah from Harlem, you're on the air.
Pleasure to talk with you today, Trees. I'm really happy to be on the air after Ed, who's one of my favorite callers for years now. And I actually had a little flashback. I performed at the Apollo with my group, Earth Driver, and I was wondering if Ed happened to be there, because I used a sample of Gerald Celente before I even knew who Gerald Celente was. I just liked what he said, and we did a little instrumental feature with his remarks. And someone in the audience told me, "Oh yeah, that's Gerald Celente." And I suddenly flashed back to Ed's voice. It was a kind of random moment. So I just wanted to know that. Did you happen to see me perform at the Apollo one time, the Apollo Music Cafe, my brother Ed in Queens? But I want to follow up with what brother Ed was saying, which is a really key point I've been thinking about, which is all the labels I've endured. Being called a conspiracy theorist, I present no conspiracy theory, and being called a Trumper, which is just ridiculous, because I never supported Trump in any way and don't support him in any way. I don't see him to be an answer to any problem. I see him to be a source of problems. So, there's two sides here, basically, is in the dichotomy I'm presenting, which is there are people such as myself who just have questions. There's a lot of logical, valid questions that anyone looking at this situation would ask if they feel they have a right to ask questions. And then there are people who think that they have answers that they couldn't possibly have. The people who have taken on the narrative, the mainstream narrative, if you will, they seem to know what the authorities are saying better than the authorities themselves. They're superseding the individuals in the organizations that they're getting their information from. They're so certain. They're more certain than the people who are saying, we're not sure, but it looks like you're going to need that fourth shot. And then these minions who jump in and say, oh, well, we knew that all along. If we have to take shots for the rest of our lives, that's okay, and that should be okay with everyone. But, basically I see these two camps. Is there people who they just have questions? And then there are people on the other hand who claim that they have answers that they don't actually have, that they can't actually have. And they're accusing the people who have questions of saying, by saying things like, well, you're not a doctor. Yeah, but I'm not trying to be a doctor. I'm not trying to administer medicine.
I like that answer.
That's really a really important point. It's like, well, you're not a doctor. No, but I do have a brain. I am literate. Medicine is practiced by human beings. It's not like doctors are these aliens who just have a system of knowledge above human beings. Medicine is a human science that has to be understood and applied by humans. Ideally, a person who is a medical patient is in consultation with their medical practitioner. And no, they don't get to be a doctor through learning about their body and the healing process, but they should know what's going on. So that's another really disturbing thing, is this notion that at any point we should be okay with not knowing at all what's going on and leaving things in the hands of experts. That's just not a good idea, and that's not how people live on a day-to-day basis. If I see a fire, I don't wait for a team of experts to confirm there's a fire in front of me. I just go away from the heat.
Well, I have to laugh because it's kind of layman's wisdom. It sounds so logical when you say it, but people don't think that way.
And speaking of laymen, isn't Joe Biden a layman? I mean, he doesn't have any medical expertise in training of any kind. So instead of saying, well, experts said this, why don't you just present the experts? Let them come to the podium. Instead of being translated through our decrepit president, let the experts speak for themselves and let people hear for themselves, not what so-called experts say as translated by another layman who just happens to have a political title. And if everyone recalls, you know, Joe Biden was excluded from the presidential, I think it was a 1988 presidential campaign for plagiarism. You know, there's a compilation of Joe Biden's outrageous plagiarism. And that's been flashing back to my mind in terms of, wait a second, I'm getting medical advice from a flagrant plagiarist? A guy who's on video lying, and then is actually lying a few months ago saying there aren't going to be mandates, and then turns around and mandates are the main thing that he wants to do after saying he wouldn't do them. So it's just very icky is what I'm getting at. It's just a weird feeling seeing someone who has just lied repeatedly, what you call bald-faced lies, and now he has a medical intervention for everyone. And again, medical intervention with no individual examination. They don't say bring your blood test, bring your personal medical details. They just say, no, just get the shot, no matter what your age, no matter your height, your weight. It's going to be the same for everyone. One size fits all.
Thank you.
Can I raise one other point really quickly, which is that one thing that really concerns me about these medical interventions that they've imposed, that they're recommending for everyone, is there's a wide range of side effects. There's a list of over 80 side effects, all of which have been observed. Neurological problems, heart issues. The Japanese government issued a formal state warning saying, oh, wait a second, mRNA vaccines are more harmful to your heart than we originally realized. Oh, it's interesting you're observing that. You already administered this to millions of people. Now you have a warning? But they're probably actually the most responsible government of all. Say, oh, actually, we messed up a little bit. This is a little more dangerous than we realized compared to our government. It's just saying, oh, this is perfectly safe. But my point is, if someone is allergic to peanut butter, because people try to use this example, well, people are allergic to everything. People are allergic to peanut butter. If I'm allergic to peanut butter, I'm just going to have an anaphylactic reaction. And it's pretty observable. It might be really dangerous, but the reaction is observable within the realm of an allergic reaction. I'm not getting myocarditis if I'm allergic to peanut butter or allergic to apples. I'm not getting Bell's palsy. So that's my question for a doctor, is how could something be good for you that could produce so many harmful effects? Like, we're not just talking about anaphylaxis being the general side effect for that, you know, 5 or 10 out of a million people who have an allergic reaction. We're talking about a wide range of negative effects. So that's something that I really find curious, is how could something be good for you that could harm you in so many ways?
Thank you. We'll take a little break and come back to Free Your Mind Friday right after this. Oh, I saw you, your swivel hips, getting in a couple of things going on there with our wonderful musicians, today's musicians. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. What are you freeing your mind of today? Bring it to our attention and let's see how it rings. We decide for ourselves whether we think you have a good point or whether you don't. Brother David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
To the point, I want to be laser on it, and that's what is on my mind right now. Is I'm thinking about the great minister from Harlem, Adam Clayton Powell, and I've talked about it before, but I think it needs to be reinforced, and that is one thing: what's in your hands? Take things into your hands and do it. We need more people taking action in their community. Put it in your hands. Don't think about these slugs, many of them in political office. Get it down to the grassroots level where people take charge, take an interest in their schools, for example. What's being taught? What's being changed? Take charge of the schools. Don't let the board of we don't have a board of education in power right now, but don't let the bureaucrats in the school system tell you what to do. Say what you want. Don't let what happened at, for example, the Wingate High School where I was at, and when I left, the people in charge could do what they wanted to do, and they got rid of some of the fantastic programs that existed at that school. And the people in the community didn't do anything. So if you had the place in your hands, they couldn't get away with that. If your neighborhood has all kinds of defects in the streets and whatnot, and the pavements are bad and whatnot, don't think about having just somebody who's a slug in a political office to take care of it. Take the action you can take, make the calls, go after it, and put that in your hands, and you can make all kind of changes and improvements. So that's what I have on mind today. Put it into your hands. Take charge at the personal level, and don't leave it over to some politician that you have voted for in the community. So what's in your hands? Let's do it.
Okay. I'm with you on that one. 888-874-4888. It's Free Your Mind Friday on Lead Stories, and this is the time that you can use to get a point across about something you feel very strongly about, and you want to share your view with others. This is about, we just heard a wonderful phrase about sustainable communities or intentional communities. This is what you're supposed to do. If you want to affirm your power and make your community stronger, this is the work you have to do. You have to get your vision or your theories or your position across to people who may never have heard these things before. But in listening to what you have to say, they may just say, you know what, that makes sense. I think I'll move on that. It's important. So this is a time. The whole program is given to people expressing their opinions about one thing or another, but the thing they have in common is that they are important to the people who are calling and talking about it. And you can go by extension to say, this is what a community is feeling, or substantial numbers of people in a community are feeling. So, use your time well. 888-874-4888. I wonder what people would say if they had no place to raise their views. You have a forum. It doesn't cost you any money. You can put your theories and your feelings right out there so that people can share them and can appreciate where you're coming from. But you shouldn't, you know, just lay back and think, well, let somebody else do it. They'll say what I think needs to be said. There are people far more experienced than I. No. You live in a community. You know what is happening. You see things that should be corrected. You have strong opinions about what is happening in terms of government and local controls of your community. So this is where you stated. But suddenly people are shy. They're very shy. Patricia from New York, I wasn't talking about you in that sense. All right. You're not shy. You're on the air.
I try not to be shy, Eutrice. Good afternoon. I hope all is well, and good afternoon to the PRN family. I wanted to call in.
Good afternoon to you.
I wanted to call in because I heard Ed, and I just wanted to share some information, just, you know, with everyone. You know, don't think about COVID as something that is so deep. It's a virus, and it acts like any other virus. It presents itself for those individuals who are susceptible to not only this but any virus. For whatever reason, they have a compromised immune system. They have other comorbidities. But if your immune system is intact, the virus will peter out. And all of the variants that you see are what viruses do. They mutate themselves depending upon, number one, whether we are susceptible because the food that we eat, the feed that in the animals, there's so much and there's so many antibiotics, you develop antibiotic resistance, and so what your immune system would normally do or how it would normally perform, it doesn't perform that way anymore. So ultimately, all of these variants are going to just peter out. They have a life of their own, and they just die. They just die a natural death. And I say that to say that there will always be more variants. Unfortunately, and you know, people may consider this to be conspiracy theorists, but unfortunately, the SARS, the COVID virus, has been around for over 40 years. For whatever reason, it was weaponized, and now it's not behaving like a normal virus. And that's the thing. It's not behaving like a normal virus because it was weaponized not to behave like a normal virus. So the question is, what do you do? The CDC and Fauci and everybody else is promoting that there's only one response. Well, there really isn't. But what's happening now is that you're getting, as months ago, as I said, the resistance. The resistance is becoming a crescendo so that you have more and more nurses now. You have more and more physicians who are saying, stop. Whatever the CDC is saying is just not true. There are other things that people can do. Your vitamin D levels, quercetin, vitamin C, all of those things are important. But I give you an example. Every year, especially in the fall and winter, people get the flu. Why do people get the flu? Because they're not exposed to the sun. What is the relationship between the sun? The sun converts vitamin D when it touches your skin. And so that's why in the spring and summer, nobody gets the flu, but they get the flu in the winter and the fall. That is the natural course of how your immune system works. So what's happening this year? Well, unbeknownst to people, they're using the same mRNA technology on the flu that they're using in COVID, unbeknownst to the public. But what's even more horrifying is that there's a recent study out of the School of Medicine at the University of Pennsylvania that says the flu vaccine that they're administering to people this year, that you hear PSAs about, get your flu vaccine at the same time that you get your COVID vaccine, it's mismatched. It's not matching the strain that's out this year. And they know it. But they're still telling people to get a vaccine for a strain that is mismatched that they know will not work. So folks really have to begin to just do what they know intrinsically they must do. Strengthen your immune system. Eat well. Sleep well. Minimize stress. Exercise. The basic building blocks of an immune system. And then just go on about your merry way.
Some people in the field, in the health field, would say you're preaching really bad stuff here.
I know. But you know, you want to know something? I'm not the only one. And unfortunately, the voices of many, many, many physicians, qualified physicians. As a matter of fact, the person who, Robert Malone, the person who developed mRNA vaccine, will tell you the same thing. But nobody wants to listen. So the voices that sound like me are not being given an opportunity to even dialogue, because that's not what people want. That's not what they want to hear. They're making too much money on this. Is there just too much money involved?
Hmm. How do you get people really motivated to not just listen to what you say, but also to take that advice?
You know, all I have done is really just share information that I have gleaned from reading, which I do literally daily. And maybe that says something about me and my personality. But this is so important because the decisions that are made today, especially when it comes to our children, are going to affect them for the rest of their lives. And so my role is just to the extent that I am reading credible information, because I certainly don't want to pass along information that I have not vetted. All I can do is, you know, share the little bit of information that I have and hope that people recognize that I am credible enough that I would not pass along information that I had not vetted.
Thanks, Patricia, for your call. Thank you.
Thank you.
Marcus Wills from Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Thank you, Eutrice. I'd like to riff for a minute on the idea of first principles. It's an idea from philosophy. When you get bogged down in details, as our daily lives are, the idea is to go to first principles. Now, I should point out that when I criticize someone's ideas, I'm not criticizing them personally, and I don't criticize them based on my values, but on the values they claim to have. Now, judging from most of the callers to any talk program anywhere, Americans seem to think they either live in a democracy or, if they don't, if it's a fake democracy, that they should have one. So this would indicate that they must have some understanding of what a democracy is and how it works. Now, I don't reflexively genuflect at the idea of a democracy. To me, it's an idea that has a tremendous amount of shortcomings, but that's a different discussion. Earlier in the week, I think you brought up something that connects to what people have been talking about in the last hour, which is you had asked a hypothetical question about whether the government has the right to do certain things in a health emergency. Is that phrasing it basically
yes.
the way
yes,
you
sure.
meant it? Yeah. Okay. Well, first, I would point out, going to first principles, number one, in a democracy, governments do not have rights. Citizens have rights. The Bill of Rights is addressed to citizens. Governments have powers. They are empowered to do certain things by a constitution and not other things. And the other things that are outside of the constitutional purview have to be given to them. And you would think in a democratic republic, you'd want it done in some democratic way for people who claim to believe in it. Now, that's not what we do. We have a technocratic class that works at the behest of corporate profit makers who control more money and wealth than all the governments of the world combined, don't begin to reach a fraction of what the big banks, insurance companies, and corporations control. And so we listen to experts. We've been taught to bend the knee and worship at the shrine of experts who are supposed to know things. Now, I've worked with experts in different fields. Experts are an extremely prejudiced party in any dispute. They want to get jobs which are respectable and well-paid. And so quite naturally, they will praise themselves and their own ideas and condemn others. So in a democracy, the idea would be that their ideas have to be balanced by the ideas of outside observers. Okay? So in, say, if there were a real pandemic, you know, that enormous numbers of people actually die from instead of the rhetorical pandemic we have based on manipulating statistics, the response in a democracy would be you don't just defer to an expert class. You would respond to the problem sort of like a prize fighter who tries to discover the idiosyncrasies and the weaknesses and the advantages and the special moves you have to make of what your viral opponent is in order to adapt your response to the style that's necessary, dictated by the reality. You consider the complexity
Marcus,
of the
Marcus,
world
I have to interrupt
in.
You. I have to interrupt
sure.
you. I'm so sorry.
Sure,
but
that's
I
right.
promise you, you will have more time to elucidate and educate us, but we are out of time. So we will have to give you preferential treatment so that you can continue and finish up your argument that you're making today. And thank you so much for contributing. Thank you all for contributing. And I just want to point out a little problem here, because when people are slow to respond, it creates a backlog and a very precious time is lost. So that we have somebody like Marcus, who has a lot to offer us today, being cut short because we're out of time, waiting for people to, call in and move things along. So keep that in mind, please. Have a good weekend. Surround yourselves with people who mean you well and bring good things into your life. And we'll see each other on Monday. Bye-bye.